Okay, let's talk about the fonts that you're going to use in your book. Now, obviously, picking fonts for your book is the biggest design decision you make apart from the size of the book. And that's because books generally are type, they're words. And so, book design, especially interior page design, is a typographic design situation. So the biggest thing in typographic design is picking the right fonts, fonts that are going to work well for the purpose you want to use them to. So I really want to go over some of the things that go into deciding on your fonts so that you'll have an understanding of what your book designer is doing or what you should do if you want to do your own book. Now, first of all, we're going to talk about body fonts, and that's the font that's going to be used for, most of your book, with the part that, the text of the book. We call it a text font or a body font. Now, in book publishing, most books in the United States are printed using old style fonts, and old style fonts, aren't particularly old. You could design one today, and if it was the right design, it would still be an old style font. And old style fonts are modeled on the very first type fonts that were ever created for printing back in the 15th century. And they originally imitated the forms that calligraphers would draw with a square pen when they were copying out books, which is the way books were produced before the invention of printing. So, how do you recognize an old style font? Well, here's my little tiny cheat sheet on old style fonts. And the word groba doesn't exist. I just made it up. Now, there are three characteristics of old style fonts. The first one is bracketed serifs. And you can see here that the serif is the part of the letter that extends outward from the main stem. And you can see all of these pieces here are serifs, or like on the tail of the A, that little piece sticking out of the B, and these pieces sticking off the R are all serifs. And what we mean by bracketed is that the serif has got a curve here between this horizontal stroke at the bottom and the big vertical stroke of the letter. It's rounded off, and that's called a bracketed serif. Now, not all typefaces have bracketed serifs, but old style typefaces always do. The other thing about old style fonts is they have this tilted axis, which you can see in example number two. Now, you can see that the O I'm using as an example, if you look at the thinnest part of the O here and here, and drew an axis through it, you could see that it's tilted slightly to the left. Now, that kind of imitates what you would get if you were a right-handed writer and you had a square-nibbed pen in your hand and you drew a circle. You would naturally get that thin and thick line, and it would be tilted slightly to the left. And that is a characteristic of old-style typefaces. And the third one is that old style typefaces have a variation in the strokes from the thick part to the thin part, but not an extreme variation. It's very moderate. In other words, the thin parts aren't super thin and the thick parts aren't super thick. They're both kind of thick and kind of thin, so there isn't a big variation. And once again, that also comes from the movement of the pen as you make your stroke. And I might add that also the serifs themselves, like the serif on the A, they originated in the same place with calligraphers. Because if you draw a letter like this, and as your pen comes around to the end and you go to lift it off, it'll make a little stroke as a finishing stroke to the letter. So that's what's behind old style typefaces. So let's look at a couple and see what you might want to use. These five typefaces are pretty much my favorites for interior book composition. There are many other typefaces available, but for some reason I keep coming back to these and they just create beautiful books. And that's Adobe Garamond Pro, which is based on an old French model, Adobe Caslon Pro, which is derived from the first typeface ever produced in England by William Caslon. There's Bembo, which is a typeface that was designed in the 15th century and has been updated ever since. Janssen Text, a very elegant face. I also use Adobe Janssen Pro. And Electra, which is a modern 20th century typeface. It's not a true old style, but it makes very elegant books. And you can find examples of these typefaces on various type font sites. And the one I use the most is myfonts.com. And you can see all of these fonts there in many, many sizes and settings, so you can see exactly what they look like. Now, that's your body font or text font, but what about your title page, your chapter openers, your subheads? There we use what we call display fonts. Now, display fonts are intended to be set at a much larger size than body fonts. And one of the most common design errors I see from self-publishers is they try to use a body font, that is a font that's designed to do text at a kind of a small size, like in a normal book, and they try to blow it up real big and use it in chapter openers or on their book cover, and it just doesn't work. They're not designed for that. There are other typefaces that are made for display purposes, and that's what we call those big fonts. So you could try some sans serif fonts. Now, a sans serif, and this is from the French, sans serif, means without serifs. And you'll notice the bottom of these letters don't have any serifs at all. And that's why they're called sans serif. These three are favorites of mine, and they're very commonly used. Myriad Pro is an Adobe face. It's very beautiful and comes in lots of weights, from thin to thick. Helvetica is a very classic face, probably the only typeface that ever had a movie made about it. And Gil Sans, which is also a very nice sans serif type that was created in the early part of the 20th century by sculptor Eric Gill. You can also use for your display fonts a decorative font instead of a sans serif. And here you see some. Nueva is a very modern font that was also produced at Adobe, as was Trajan. And Rockwell is a square serif font that's very useful, and they all give a different flavor to your book. For instance, Trajan is a very classic-looking typeface, and it was modeled on the capital letters that were inscribed on the Trajan column in ancient Rome. So these are obviously very old models. Now, you probably wouldn't use Trajan for your titles if your book was about, let's say, social media or a computer technology, because it would be a little fighting against the subject matter to use a very ancient typeface in a book with a very modern subject. You would probably want to go more for one of these sans serif fonts, which look a little bit more modern. Now, there's also some great free fonts around, and one of the best sites I know of to get free fonts is a site called Font Squirrel. That's fontsquirrel.com. And these are three free fonts that I've downloaded from Font Squirrel, and they're free to use commercially or for whatever you want. And you can see that we have what's called a square serif font, Chunk 5, that's really great for book covers. All of these are great for book covers. Lee Gothic, which is very condensed. Really good if you have a long title, and this all-cap font called Frances. So these are all display fonts, and these are the kind of fonts you would want to use for your chapter titles, your title page, or perhaps even for subheads. Now, there's one more thing I want to say about the fonts you use in your book, and that is they are intellectual property. You know, just like your book is intellectual property because it sprang from your own creative imagination, or a photograph taken by a photographer is intellectual property because it was the result of their creative work, fonts are designed by font designers and artists, and they are owned by the foundries that produce them. So you can't just copy these and give them away or share them around because they are protected by copyright law. Not only that, you have to be careful about the fonts you use. And I talked about this a little bit in Module 3, because there are some fonts that ship with computers, particularly with Microsoft products, that won't work for use in books because you can't embed them into your PDF. And I explained why that was important back in Module 3. You have to have those fonts get embedded into the PDF you're going to send the printer. So you just want to be careful. I know some clients I've consulted with who are going into publishing, I've encouraged them to settle on a particular font that they really like, that works for their kind of books, and then buy the font. Many of them are available from Adobe or through myfonts.com. And even though there may be some expense to doing that, some of them are very inexpensive, some of them are more expensive. The fact is that you can then use those fonts for all your books forever, and they quickly you'll amortize the cost of those fonts over time. For instance, if you were to buy Adobe Garamond Pro and buy enough variations to do all different kinds of books, you might spend $100 to $200. But you know, you would never have to spend a penny on fonts again, and you would know that you had fonts that were embeddable and fully licensed to you for your use. So that's a really good thing. Anyway, that's it on fonts, and if you have any questions on fonts, I would love to talk about them because it's one of my favorite things.